First, though, to the modern workplace and the different ways men and women figure out their work-life balance. Flexibility has been seen as a positive for women, but a new report suggests that men who decide to take up flexible work, part-time or working from home with flexible hours, feel less confident in their jobs, and for good reason. They are less likely to be promoted. Meredith Helicar, one of the authors of the report, spoke to RN Breakfast yesterday about the different attitudes and outcomes for men and women who work flexibly. And while the findings may have many women rolling their eyes and saying, "Welcome to my world," men are experiencing possibly what may just be the outer symptoms of massive change within our workplaces. Social researcher Simone McCurdy knows how men are thinking about these issues because last December she surveyed 950 fathers about their views on parental leave and flexible work. She's a lecturer in social work at the Macquarie at Monash University. Simone, welcome to Life Matters.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Now, before we hear what these fathers had to say, what's your view on the finding that flexible work holds back men's careers? Now, that's what was found in this Bain & Company report by Chief Executive Women, the group. Does that finding fit with your research?
Absolutely. And it's certainly not a surprise at all. When I read that report, I just went that, you know, that's just confirmation of exactly as you identified this issue that women have been saying for some time is that as soon as you put your hand up in an organisation and say, "I'd like to work flexibly," it seems as if you're straight away taking yourself on what we used to traditionally call the mummy track, which meant that you would be underemployed, under your skill level, given all the admin jobs, and you wouldn't actually be seen as a talent anymore. And so, you know, when I read that report, and certainly my own findings, indicates very strongly that it may not actually be about gender, that what it may most likely be is around this idea of the ideal worker. And so what fathers are now experiencing is when they start to move away from this model of an ideal worker, which is full-time, working at high intensity, always available and there for long hours, that they're not seen quite as having the capital as they once did in the organisation.
So a woman who has those attributes is as likely to be successful and given opportunities for promotion as a man?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've been focusing on traditionally in this whole research area, so if we think about it broadly about, you know, the work and care research area, we've had such a strong focus on women, naturally so, because they entered into this traditionally male-dominated area of paid work. But we haven't actually had a look at it for too long now across this particular issue in terms of men. And so certainly my study and the other studies that you're now starting to see come out has changed the way we look at it. And fathers have changed the way that they look at work and family. The problem is, though, organisations haven't.
So one of the speculations in this report was that men are 10 to 15 years behind women in adopting flexible working, and that the workforce hasn't really changed. It hasn't figured out how this is going to be the new reality. It's still locked in that old, I guess, harvester agreement where there's a certain amount of hours that you're supposed to be available to your employer.
Yeah, that harvester, I tell you, that judgment's left us with a massive legacy.
When was that, but just incidentally?
Yeah, 1907.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so 1907 ideas about workplaces in
absolutely
operation 110 years later.
Still today. And, you know, for those listeners that aren't familiar with that judgment, that was really about an industrial relations judgment saying, you know what, we need to set a minimum wage based on this understanding that a man will have a wife and more likely two children to support. So we need to have this idea of a living wage. And of course, that is not the reality today. Most people are operating in dual income families. What we have is a wonderful reputation in Australia for educating women. In fact, we are one of the forerunners in educating women. But what still is happening is as soon as we have a child, we revert back to this 1950s model or thinking about it from a 1950s perspective. So women are perceived to be back at home, but they're not. They're still in the workplace. And that means that they need a hand with childcare, and men are very willing to step up into that role. And there's lots of policies around that are actually available for men, both industrially and in the workplace. But the problem is, as that report and my research has indicated really clearly, it's just not that simple. Having the policies is not enough to make men take up those policies, because that decision's actually made very much based on what's happening in the workplace. And it's not the workplace culture, it's that climate. Those managers and the line managers indicate very clearly whether it's okay to do that or not.
On Life Matters, we're talking with Simone McCurdy. She's a lecturer in social work at Monash University in Melbourne. So, Simone, let's go to that insecurity that men seem to be feeling about opting for flexible work arrangements. You spoke to, as we said, 950 fathers and some couples. Tell us what you heard.
Well, one of the main things that I was asking about was, you know, if you had paid leave to step away from work to be the primary carer, would you take it? And the majority of fathers in my survey said, yes, we absolutely would. We would step away from work to be a primary carer. But when we got down to sort of drill into some further questions about, you know, what are the contingencies that need to occur, they certainly said that that type of leave needs to be paid. It needs to be paid at the rate that they were previously on, and it needs to be part of a specific leave for fathers, because fathers are not willing to take what they still consider to be part of their partner's leave.
Okay. So it seems like the nub of it then is that in theory they like the idea, but they're not either willing to take the risks and suffer the consequences that women have had to do, possibly because they're more often the primary carer of children, or whether it's just that the system isn't supporting them to take that risk.
Yes. Or worse, that the system seemed to be supporting them, but actually doesn't. And that's where that sort of cultural climate area comes in. And so when I interviewed the couples and asked them, okay, so how did this decision actually get made about who would stay home, for how long, who would take up the primary care relationship? Most couples kind of said we didn't have a conversation about it. We just defaulted into the mother being the primary carer because that's what everyone does. And the couples that did change things up, it was this very complex sort of calculation about careers. So both men and women, how engaged were they with their careers? What did they want to do in terms of promotion? So understanding that decisions to take time away from work to care has impacts in terms of your capital in the workplace. And that speaks directly to things like promotion, how you're perceived, how much support you have, and what kinds of flexibilities you're able to get. You know, we talk about flexibility, but it's a very broad church. It can entail things such as leaving work early, for example, or doing your own start and finish times. But what my research found is that in terms of actually changing the gendered nature of the care that goes on in the home, so moving more to that shared care model, we need the structural flexibilities like the job share, the compressed work week, the part-time work, and fathers are not willing to take that up.
So you say that the employers prefer the ideal worker. Is there any evidence that the flexible worker delivers less?
There is certainly evidence around, and this has been known certainly anecdotally for many recruiting managers, that when people are engaged and often one of the big drivers of employee engagement for businesses at the moment is that work-life balance. So we know when we're able to provide the kinds of policies and support that allow people to have some control over their working life and to be able to manage it to an agreed goal, that they're a lot more engaged. So there's lots of evidence around this concept of employee engagement and the way that work and life balance fits into that, that says that they work a lot better, that they more are likely to put in discretionary effort to the business. Now, you can ask any managers, and I'd be certainly interested to hear feedback about part-time women. Every manager that I speak to ever in my career has said part-time women are the best because they get in, they do the job and they get out.
No, they're just saying that.
Yeah. You know, that in terms of getting the job done, that it's certainly the way that women operate. So there's lots of positives to be had for this. But the problem is that organisations are not catching up, and fairly soon men are going to start voting with their feet. So we actually look at the way in which it's structured industrially. We don't have a right to get flexibility, we have a right to request it. So that means that anyone who wants to lodge a complaint, the onus is on the individual. Now, when the majority of men are still the primary breadwinner in the family and they've just got a young family to support, they're less likely to complain. But the young guns at the moment certainly look around and are probably waiting for opportunities to move into an organisation that's going to give them the flexibility to keep everyone happy. Because these guys have got wives at home that are dying for them to get home and give them some relief and some support as well.
And they've also got kids at home that would absolutely love to spend more and more time with them. Well, I think I like the idea that women are way ahead of men in this space, and it's about changing the whole surroundings rather than changing the individuals to fit into it.
That's nice.
Thank you very much for talking with us, and good luck with that research too.
Thank you very much. Lovely to speak with you.
That's Simone McCurdy. She's a lecturer in social work at Monash University. She just in December completed some research with 950 fathers about how they feel about more flexible workplace arrangements. Clearly, we've still got a way to go. We'd be interested to hear your views on flexible work. Well, you leave a message on the listener line, 02833. I haven't managed to put this in my memory yet. 02833 1430 is the best way, or of course by Facebook. So, you know, is flexible work the new normal, and do we need to change our workplaces to ensure that people feel more secure in them if they do go down that route? Now, we are going to be continuing this conversation tomorrow on Life Matters. We're going to meet some dads. We've got three dads coming in to talk to us, and they're going to, you know, talk about how they manage being fathers, whether they get the balance right or wrong in their own lives, and what their aspirations are. So we'll be meeting the dads tomorrow on Life Matters.